Folks, this segment is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in Oklahoma, ChoctawHuntingLodge.com, Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, and Heavenly Bread Pudding, which makes an awesome snack when you're out hunting and fishing. It's available at Brookshire's and Brookshire Brothers. Well, folks, bow season is open in the Lone Star State, as it is across much of the country. Mr. Skip Peterson, Gearhead Archery, is with us. Now, Skip's a friend and a major bow hunter. He's guided out west. One of these times I want to get around a campfire with Skip and let him tell me some of his guide stories. But we want to talk a little bow hunting. Skip, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Luke.
Yes, sir. I'll tell, kind of set the stage, but I guess at least 2 years ago, going on three, I got a Gearhead bow, and a lot of people, I'll be honest, in Texas, they're popular bows across much of the country, but in Texas, I think the Gearhead bows, people are just beginning to learn about them down here, Skip. But I'm going to tell you, I have a buddy, Mark Billette, who has a hunting ranch, and he's a bow technician. He's got a bow shop on his ranch, a little bow shop on his big ranch. Well, he set that bow up for me, and he told me, he said, Luke, that's one of the easiest bows to set up that I've worked with. And it was his first Gearhead to set up. They look a little unconventional, don't they, Skip? You know,
They do, but, you know, don't be surprised. You'll be surprised by the looks. You know, they perform quite a bit different than what you'd suspect.
Oh, yeah, and they have a see-through, shoot-through riser. So the arrow, you know, Skip, is centered, isn't it? I mean, it's like perfectly centered.
It is, yeah. Yeah, you're shooting right between two riser plates, and it creates a shoot-through system.
Well, but folks can go online to gearheadarchery.com, right? I mean,
yep. And they can find all their information. If you just Google Gearhead, I mean, there's plenty of stuff out there that you can read about us and learn more about us and things like that. I mean, there's videos and all kinds of testimonials and stuff like that.
Yep, and YouTube stuff too, Gearhead.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully, you know, Larry Wysoon and Jeff Rice, who's a fellow Wisconsiner, Jeff is from Wisconsin also. But anyway, Larry and Jeff and I do this weekly video called A Sportsman's Life. And I am just about to take my Gearhead out to this particular little ridge with a pop-up blind and a corn feeder and some minerals on the ground. And I'm after venison, Skip. I mean, I won't shoot a buck unless it's a grown buck, as I call it. But a fat doe or a grown buck, I'm ready for some chicken fried venison. And that's going to be...
Hopefully... You get one of each, Luke.
Yes, sir. I like the way you think, Skip. I really do. You've guided a good bit out west, haven't you?
It's been already I've been 3 weeks out west. Now I'm back home to play catch-up. But there was this one guy out of Arkansas that shoots, he shoots a lot of ASAs. He's a really successful archer, and his dream hunt was to shoot an antelope.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew some ranchers out there, so I had him come out, and on the first day he shot a really nice antelope. And then I went down to Trophy Plus Outfitting down in Montana, Wyoming. They guide in both states. And I had a couple hunters coming in there to go whitetail hunting, but they were a couple days away from actually flying in. So there was another guy in camp that hit one the night before, and he was going out the next morning for a recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So I went along with the camera. And as we're tracking, he's out farther ahead of me, and he comes back and he said, Skip, there's a mountain lion up here. I go, what? He goes, a mountain lion. I go, really? Because I've never seen one in the wild, personally. And sure enough, we get up there, and the mountain lion is dragging vegetation, just like clawing at the ground, and basically, long story short, is burying the deer that the guy shot the night before. And the mountain lion pretty much had the deer consumed.
Oh,
there was
man.
Not much to salvage from it. But as soon as the mountain lion saw us, it ran off. But it made for some really good photos and a really, really cool experience in Wyoming with the mountain lion. And then when my guys came in, they each shot really nice whitetails. One shot one the first day and one shot one the last day.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, was it like were you like guiding these fellas, or is that the way it worked?
I I used to guide for Trophies yep. Plus. I really wasn't guiding. I was just there. They were all shooting gearheads, and I was uh-huh. there as a gearhead representative to make sure, you yep. know, everyone was having fun, and, you know, yeah. we were cutting it up after they were hunting and stuff like that
yeah.
back at the lodge, and just make sure that, you know, just
yeah.
just being there for the guys and make sure everyone's having a good time. We call it a gearhead week at Trophies Plus.
Well,
so we'll probably try it next year again, too. Where,
well, you there's an old outdoor.
It's just kind of a fun atmosphere for that.
There's an old outdoor rider down in Texas, you know, that shoots a gearhead. He writes for Sporting Classics and about 42 newspapers and does this. You know, you might want to consider next year when we're putting this
maybe
together.
We bring old Luke up to Gearhead Week and get his hands bloody up to his elbows.
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, let's keep that in mind. That's a year away, so I'll give you plenty of time to plan it.
Especially, too, you also have to apply in March, April. You don't have to apply in the early part of the spring. Each state's a little bit different, but most of the time it's like between March and May that you have to apply. So you got to kind of be thinking about it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, plan ahead. How many guys did you have up on? It sounds like more or less a gearhead hunt. I mean, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how many guys did you have this year?
There was three this year. We went 3 for 3.
Uh-huh.
Next year I'm hoping to expand it to probably 6 to 8, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it. I would love to, you know, get with you next year, give some good fodder for my article, Skip. I guarantee you.
Sure.
We'll talk about that.
Idea.
Yeah, always. All our friends listening, they know they're dealing with a couple old hunters. You and I, here we are recording, talking a bow hunting segment on the radio, and we're planning a hunt. So,
yeah,
but that's the
yeah.
way we roll, by golly.
Well, it's pretty much bow season's on nationwide right now. I mean, I'm getting pictures daily from
yeah.
people shooting gearhead all over the United States and
yeah.
you know, just getting ready to put them on Facebook and also keep the better ones for our catalog and stuff like that and just spreading the good word of the gearheads.
You bet. I'm hoping here, honestly, the odds are stacked in my favor. I mean, I've got it's on Jeff's place, Jeff Rice's place up on the upper end of Lake Fork in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Texas, it's a forest up there, believe it or not. And, you know, a lot of people think of Texas as all being what they see on Realtree, the old videos and stuff, you know, down in the South Texas. But there's eastern half of Texas is hardwoods and pines, you know. But that's the kind of country I'll be hunting. And little pop-up blinds been sitting there for 2 or 3 years. We had to do some had to put some camo mesh on the back of it. It's kind of weather worn, but the deer have been looking at it for 2 years. And corn feeder about 25 yards out. And I tell you that gearhead, I've been shooting it 2 or 3 times a week. I'll go out and shoot maybe 6-8 arrows, and try to use the best form that I know how, and try to think each arrow is going to be aimed at a big buck, and I think I'm ready to go. So probably pretty obvious to tell I'm kind of fired up about it. It'll be a solo hunt, Skip. I'll be up there by myself. I'm going to have some mule deer venison from last year, vacuum sealed. I'm going to go up there and cook me some deer steak and, you know, just have a good time for a couple of, well, 2 nights and I guess almost 3 days of hunting. So fired up about that, you know.
That sounds really fun. I mean, that's kind of what we live for.
Yeah, exactly what we live for, man. It's just, it's a lot. Gearhead archery has been around. When was the first gearhead bow produced, Skip?
So for the consumer market, 2015, we're actually in year 7 right now. We started, it's kind of funny, we started on April 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
of 2015. We would have did April 1st, but people would have thought we were April fooling them, so
yep.
we held it off to the 2nd.
Right. Well, and here's something else I want my Texas friends, mostly, you know, folks are listening online, I guess, all over, but on the radio shows here in Texas, folks, my bow is 28 inches axle to axle. I mean, I just get one bow and shoot it, and you know, I'm no bow technician or bow expert. I'm really not, but I've been shooting them for about 26 years, you know. So I haven't shot the short ones. Now, the only bow I've ever gearhead I've ever shot, honestly, is the 28
right.
inch, but they make them a lot shorter axle to axle too.
Yeah, actually we used to be at an 18, but now we made it where 20 inches axle to axle, the shortest, which is really nice for ground blinds because it's really maneuverable. Also, too, a lot of people that shoot out of saddles, it's becoming really popular.
Yeah.
They like the shorter bows because they can move them under their bridge, and it's just really maneuver. You can go from right side of the tree, left side of the tree, and back and forth with not too much difficulty. Our 24-inch axle-to-axle bows are definitely our best sellers. It seems like most of the people that are going to it, the shorter bows, they're getting the 24 inches.
So that, and the shorter bows. Yeah, you mentioned the mountain lions. For 7 years, a buddy and I outfitted up north of Steamboat Springs. We leased a ranch. Larry Large is my friend, and he guided for J&J Outfitters and everything. But I've been out of this about 3 years, Skip, but you mentioned mountain lions. I had a hunter on a, we'll call it an elk wallow. Elk were hitting it. It was actually a tank, a pond for cattle, too, you know. I was up above it, and I'll swear, this will sound crazy, that morning, a mountain lion, a guy was hunting on the ground, my hunter was, and the mountain lion, I probably told you this story, but I was over the hill bugling, and I didn't see it. I came back, and he come up to me. He said, "Luke, I just looked death in the face." Honestly, what happened, a big male mountain lion had probably been stalking that water tank, that whole water hole, for deer and elk. But he came, he snuck up within like 6 feet, and that is no kidding, because I saw the tracks that morning. And finally just jumped up behind the guy, and the guy came to me. I was around over the hill. So that afternoon we went back and hunted that same spot. I never dreamed that cat came back, Skip. And when we backed out of there, you couldn't carry a gun during archery season back then in Colorado. That's been about 4 years ago, maybe five. We backed out of there, and that cotton-picking cat was sitting on his haunches looking at us. Did not run. That scared me to death. I get cold chills thinking about it.
Well, you know, a day after we had that mountain lion encounter in Wyoming, I got thinking, you know, we could actually kill that cat if we, you know, because mountain lion season started September 1st in Wyoming, and you can buy them over the counter, and they have a moratorium. So once they reach so many cats in a certain area, well, then the season closes. Well, that was only September 3rd, I believe, is when we had the run-in with the cat. Since that cat buried his deer, if we would have went into town and bought a license, we could have came back that evening and sat there, and we probably would have had a really good chance of shooting that cat.
You bet, yeah.
But we didn't even think about it at the time. We were just excited to see a mountain lion, you know, and recover the deer that it was like a day later. I was like, you know what we should have done?
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But then the one gearhead guy that shot a deer the last day he was there, when we were skinning it out, he made a perfect shot, you know, just top of the heart type of a shot on it. We noticed there was a cut in the rear ham of the deer. And when we skinned it out, on both sides of the ham were two claw marks where the mountain lion had them by the butt and the deer got away.
Wow, man. I'll tell you, that's the thing about hunting out west, man. You never know. Skip, I'm being told that we are out of time for this segment. I could enjoy visiting with you about 3 hours. So we'll get you back soon
we'll do it again sometime. Maybe after you have a successful weekend, you can tell us all about your buck and doe kill that you get this week.
Let's. I like the way you think, Skip. Thank you a lot for being our guest, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me, Luke.
Folks, that was what I like to call another real world outdoor segment, nuts and bolts hunting and fishing talk. I want to remind you, Pyramid Air is your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Simply go online to pyramidair.com to check them out. Mill Creek Ranch Resort down in Canton is an awesome place to stay. Private cabins that you're escorted back to. Check out Mill Creek Ranch Resort, folks, right there near the trade days, really, just right across the road there. MillCreekRanchResort.com.